Osho, Tao, the Three Treasures, Volume 2, Talks on Fragments from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 7.
Bhagwan, Lao Tse says, the softest substance of the world goes through the hardest. That which is without form penetrates that which has no crevice. Through this I know the benefit of taking no action. The teaching without words and the benefit of taking no action are without compare in the universe.
The other night, I was reading a Sufi story. I loved it. I rejoiced in it. It is sheer beautiful, and I would like it to share with you. It happened. A Sufi dervish, in search of God, was wandering from one country to another. He came across too many teachers, but nobody could satisfy him. Nowhere he could find the place where he could have surrendered his heart. Disappointed, despondent, he thought to move into the forest and to be alone and to listen to the inner master and forget about outer masters. He came across a beautiful oak grove, many oak trees, old, ancient, had made a grove. Their branches were entangled with each other in such a way that it was a natural protection from rain, from the sun, and from the elements of nature. And the grove was so silent, near a lake, and it was so deep in the forest that nobody ever passed by it. He went into it. He loved it. The place had a charm of its own. He started meditating there. Once a week, for a few hours, he would get out and go to the nearest village to procure some food. And then for 7 days, he will be lost in his meditations. Sufis continuously repeat the name of God, Allah. Mohammedans have their mantra. The mantra means there is no God except God. There is no God but God. But Sufis have cut it into a single word, Allah, God. Because they say it is possible that repeating the mantra, you may die someday when you were just in the middle of it. You were repeating the mantra and you can die just in the middle of it. You had said there is no God and you can die. So you die an atheist. At the last moment, you don't bear witness to the divine. On the contrary, you die in a negativity. So they say it is dangerous. So they don't repeat the Mohammedan mantra in its complete form. They simply repeat Allah, Allah, Allah. So at the last moment, your heart is filled, your breath is filled with the name of Allah, with the remembrance. That's what they call jikr. The Sufi started his mantra, Allah, 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 for months. He started feeling very calm and quiet and cool and collected. It was so silent around the grove, so peaceful, and the same peace started being felt inside, in the interiormost parts of his being. But he was not happy. It was not enough. Enlightenment, nirvana, was yet far away. Years passed, and the grove became almost a sacred spot. Luxuriant growth happened to the oak trees. Suddenly they became as if again young. New foliage. And the whole grove was filled with beauty. But there was sadness in the heart of the Sufi. But he waited. And he did whatsoever could be done. Continuously filled with prayer, meditation. 18 years passed, but he was as far away from nirvana as ever. Of course, now he was peaceful and silent, but yet not blissful. Something has dissolved, but nothing has descended. Something has left. He was empty. And emptiness, of course, is silent. But he was not filled. The emptiness has remained emptiness. And now nothing more was there to do. One dark night, in the middle of the night, suddenly a suspicion arose in his mind. A doubt came, because 18 years is too long a time, and he had put all his effort, all his being into it. He has not been holding anything, and if it has not happened, then it seems it will never happen again. A doubt arose. He started thinking, is it possible that this oak grove is not allowing my prayers to go out, as it is not allowing rains and sun to come in? The foliage is too thick. Maybe my prayers reach only to the back side of the leaves, the underside of the leaves, and they don't go beyond. And God has not heard me. As sun can never penetrate this grove, my prayers have not penetrated the outer cosmos. This grove has been an exploiter, a bloodsucker. He became so afraid with the grove, he simply escaped from that in the middle of the dark night. But at that very moment, miles away from the grove, on the road, a beggar was passing, going from one town to another. Suddenly, a deep urge came into him from the blue to go into the forest. He resisted the urge. It was dangerous. The forest was filled with wild animals, and there is no point in going in. And he had to reach to the other village by the morning. And yet the half journey is incomplete. And for what he should go into the forest? But as if something started pulling him. He was helpless. He could not do anything. He started running into the forest as if mad. Sometimes he will think, what I am doing? But as if the body was moving on its own, he was no more the master. He wanted to escape. It was absolutely dangerous. He was afraid, trembling, but helpless. Then he reached near the grove. Then he understood. A subtle call was coming from the grove. Come to me. Not visible to the outer ears, or something in him could hear it. And the grove was unbelievable. The whole forest was filled with darkness, but the grove was glowing with a subtle blue light. It was almost as if of the other world, as if a Buddha was sitting underneath it. And somebody has become enlightened underneath it. And the light of enlightenment and the peace and bliss of nirvana is spreading all around. Subtle ripples he felt all around the grove, a magnetic field. Now the fear disappears. He entered the grove, and just by entering, he was transformed. He was totally a new person. He could not believe himself. He was just an ordinary man, nor particularly good, nor particularly bad. Just an ordinary, plain man, deep in the confusions of ordinary life. Deep in the troubles in ordinary life, neither an atheist nor an atheist, in fact never had thought about God in particular, never had taken any decision about religion, has been really indifferent to it. Life had so many problems, and he was too much in it. But suddenly entering the grove, he was caught in a whirlwind. He sat underneath the tree. He couldn't believe, because this posture has never used. He was sitting like a Sufi dervish. And then started a stirring in his being. Innermost core of his being was stirred. A sound started arising. He couldn't believe what is happening. It is unbelievable. Then a sound burst upon him. He could not recognize it, what it was. By and by, as things settled and excitement was gone, he could hear the sound. The nebulous sound became clear. The formless took the form. And now he could see it was nothing but Allah. Allah. And he was repeating it in spite of himself. He was not doing it. He was not the doer. He could only bear witness to be a witness. It was happening. As if he was just a source of some cosmic ocean, and tidal waves were coming and splashing all over him. Allah, Allah, Allah a tide of the ocean setting on the shore. He was just the shore, bathed, transmuted. A million times he died and was reborn in that night. For 18 years the dervish has remained there and nothing happened. And in 18 hours there was a Buddha and he has not done a thing. I love this story. Lao Tse would have loved it. Lao Tse would have understood it. What is the secret of this? Looks a little irrational. The man who had been praying for 18 years attained nothing. And the man who had never prayed within 18 hours attained everything. What is the secret key to understand this story? Lao Tse has a word. The word is Wu Wei. It means action without action. It means action like no action. It means being active and not being active together. That is the secret key. The dervish was overdoing. He could not maintain himself in the middle. He overdid it. And overdoing is always undoing. Life is a balance. He couldn't attend to balance. In his greed to attain, in his ambition to attain, he moved to the extreme, became too much active. And whenever you are too much active, whenever you are only active, then things of the world may happen to you, but things of the other world cannot happen. You are too excited, too feverish. You are not the right receptacle yet. A right receptacle is one who is balanced. Balance between activity and inactivity. Balance between passivity and activity. Balanced in all the dualities. He was too good a man. The goodness became imbalance. He avoided the whole world. He moved to one extreme. He renounced. And then he was expectant, continuously expecting that beautiful foliage of the tree was not a barrier. His own foliage of expectations was the barrier, the hindrance. The prayers, yes, could not reach to the God, but not because of the oak tree. The oak tree was absolutely innocent. The prayers could not reach to God because he was covered with expectations. His prayers were beautiful. But deep down, the ugly worm of expectation was there. His remembrance of God was continuous. But just behind the remembrance followed a shadow of greed and desire and ambition that destroyed the whole thing. Even the oak trees were benefited and blessed by his prayers, but he could not be blessed by his own prayers. The oak trees became more beautiful, attained to a new youth and new life, as if touched by eternity. Even in their dark corners of being, a light started burning, but the darvish remained empty. He could not be filled, because he could never forget himself. To remember God is good, but until you forget yourself, the remembrance is not total. How can you both exist together, God and you? That's not possible. And then suddenly, when he left, this 18 years constant remembrance, constant repetition has given the oak grove a new magnetic field. Now the oak grove was a whirlpool of cosmic energy, of consciousness. Now the oak tree was ready to give, to return. Because life is a give and take, take and give. You cannot go on taking, you have to give. In life there is no miserliness. Life only takes to give. Now the oak grove was ready, pregnant to give. The oak grove was like a woman pregnant, and a child was to be born. The oak grove started creating its own vibrations around the forest for anybody to come and accept the gift. In that whirlwind, the beggar was caught. And the beggar was an ordinary man, neither very good nor very bad, nothing in particular. In fact, a little more balanced than the darvish. He was a good man, a saint. This beggar was sometimes a sinner and sometimes a saint, nothing in particular. And he could never expect, because he has never even prayed. He was not even a believer. He was so much engaged in the ordinary activities of the world that his greed has never reached to the point where it becomes otherworldly. He entered the grove. He was plain and simple and innocent like a child. Suddenly he was transformed. He was not self-conscious, that is the key. He was not in fact looking for God. When you are looking, you will miss. If you are looking too intently, you will miss certainly. If you are just relaxing, you may meet. God comes to you when you are not in particularly after him. Because when you are after him, you are a little aggressive. God comes to you when you are more like a feminine being than like a male mind. And that is the meaning of love, this feminine being. You await. One very, very rare woman in the West of this century, Simone Weil, has written a book, Waiting for God. That is the right attitude. What else you can do? What else you know? You can simply wait. Await. You receive. You cannot go and attack. The beggar was a beggar, attuned in receiving. A beggar is attuned in receiving, always with his begging bowels, a receiver. A beggar is feminine. And here lies the mystery of the Indian concept that unless you become beggars, bhikkhus, you will not attain. Not exactly that you have to become a beggar and move in rags on the streets and create nuisance, no. The meaning is that a beggar knows how to be receptive. A bhikkhu knows how not to aggress upon, how to simply wait on the door. Just wait. If nothing is given, then a real beggar has no complaint against you, because what complaint can be against you? It is for you whether you decide to give or not. A real beggar, a bhikkhu, Buddha called his sannyasins bhikkhus. A real bhikkhu thinks whether you give him or not, that is not the point. He thanks you if you give him. He thanks you if you don't give him. Because if he cannot thank you when you have not given, then he was not a receptor. Then some aggression was within him. He was waiting with expectations that something is going to be given to me. If it is given, I will thank. If it is not given, then I will curse. In Indian languages, we have two words. For the right beggar, we call bhikkhu, bhikshu. For the wrong beggar, we call bhikhari. They come from the same root. But a bhikhari is not a bhikkhu, and a bhikkhu is not a bhikhari. A right beggar begs without expectation. He has no claim. How you can claim? If you have no claim, you are not aggressive. If you are not aggressive, you think whether something is given or not. That is irrelevant. That man was a beggar. Must have been a bhikkhu, not a bhikhari. Must have been a right beggar. He entered in the grove and attained to enlightenment, became a Buddha in 18 hours. This is the beauty of inaction. He didn't do anything on his own. He simply allowed himself to be there. He remained available, that's all. And whatsoever happened, happened. He was a watcher, a witness to it. That beggar cannot say that I attained Buddhahood. How can he say? Because there was no attainer, no reacher. There was no one who was trying to attain anything. He was moving in the unknown. He was moving in the unfamiliar and the strange. He even could not recognize what this sound is. It all happened to him. Because of such phenomena, tirthas, sacred places and temples became very important. Because sometimes something can happen to you when you are not the doer. Just the very spot, so charged with magnetism of somebody else, that you are caught into it. You become a receptive agent. Something starts happening to you. And to know the beauty of something happening without your doing is the greatest thing in the world. To know that feeling of beatitude, to know that feeling of grace filling you. You are not doing anything and everything is happening. Now, listen to this sutra of Lao Tse. The softest substance of the world goes through the hardest. What is the softest substance of the world? There are two. In the outside world, the softest substance is water. In the inside world, the softest substance is love. And water and love are both alike in many, many ways. It has to be understood. Water seeks hollow places. Love also seeks hollow places. If you are an egoist, love cannot reach you. Because you are a pinnacle of ego, a peak. You are so filled with yourself, love cannot reach. Love needs you to be an emptiness, a space with no hindrance. Water also seeks hollow places. That's how it moves from the Himalayas and goes and goes and goes and reaches to the ocean. Ocean is the most hollow place in the world. That's how it reaches. A river cannot move towards the Gauri Shankar. It cannot go to the highest peak of the Himalayas. Just the rivers. A river is born on the highest peaks of the Himalayas in the glaciers. And then it moves low, low, low. Goes on moving. Until it reaches to the hollowest and lowest place in the world, the ocean. The ocean becomes its home. Love also moves towards hollowness, emptiness. That's why egoistic people cannot love and cannot be loved. They desire much. They ask for love. They do whatsoever can be done to attain to love. But they remain a failure. They fail utterly, because the point is not how to attain to love, the point is how to become hollow, how to become empty. Love should not be sought directly, cannot be sought directly, only indirectly you can become available to it. You simply become hollow and see. 1001 streams start flowing towards you. Unknown strangers fall in love with you. Not only men, stars and stones, sand and ocean, trees and birds. Wherever you move, suddenly the love starts flowing towards you, because love is like water. It seeks a hollow place. So there it can rest. You pass by the side of a tree. If you are hollow, suddenly the love of the tree starts flowing towards you. It is natural. It is nothing like a miracle. It is just like water. You pour water, and it will find the hollowest place to rest. Love is the water of inner being. Lao Tse says, the softest substance of the world goes through the hardest. They say that within 7,000 years, the Niagara Fall will completely dissolve all the hills that surround it. Up to now, 7 miles of hills and rocks have been dissolved by it. Within 7,000 years, Niagara Fall will disappear, because there will be no hill from where to fall. Hardest stones are dissolved by softest water, and it never does anything. It is not really trying to do anything. It simply goes on flowing. And when for the first time you see a rock and a fall meeting, you will certainly say that this rock cannot be dissolved so hard. But all the sands in the oceans are nothing but past Himalayas. The water has taken them, grounded them to earth. The Himalayas disappear, and the water continues flowing, so soft but so persistent, so soft but such a continuum, that by and by the harder substance dissolves unknowingly. What is happening? What is happening? Why the soft element dissolves the hard element? Because the hard resists, because the hard fights, because the hard is on defense from the very beginning, that tires it. And the soft is not a fighter. From the very beginning, it is not in the soft element's mind to dissolve or destruct anybody. He is simply following its own course towards a hollow place. That's all. He is not the enemy from the very beginning. But the hard element is aware, alert, in a fighting mood, resisting. That very resistance dissipates energy. That very resistance kills. To resist is to die. Jesus has a very, very beautiful saying, unbelievably beautiful and paradoxical. He says, resist not evil. Christian theologians have not been able to explain it or explain it away either. And it is a problem for them, an enigma. Resist not evil. What Jesus is teaching? Jesus is teaching Tao. Jesus is teaching the secret of Wu Wei. He says, resist not evil and the evil will die. And you will survive. Because the evil is always self-protective, always in defense. The evil is always guilty, conscious, and always protective, rationalizing, making new defense arrangements. It will die by itself, you simply don't resist. It may be a rock now, so hard, a granite rock. And your non-resistance is just like water, so soft, you can never think that you can win. In India, we have a saying. The saying is very, very deep. Satyameva jayate. Truth always wins, untruth never. Somebody asked Buddha that we see just the contrary in the world. You say Satyameva Jayate, truth wins, truth is always victorious. But we see just the reverse in the world. We see liars winning, truthful people being defeated. We see cunning, dishonest people victorious, honest, sincere people always victims, always the defeated. Buddha said, eventually, truth wins and untruth fails. Eventually, in the end. In the beginning, all appearances say that the rock will win. It is a granite rock and this poor water with no power in it. Not even a shape, no resistance. So humble, without any ego, so humble that always seeking a hollow place to hide, non-ambitious, not trying to go to Delhi, just going towards a hollow place, just to hide from the world and be there. This water, how can it win? Truth seems like water. It is like water. Untruth is a granite rock, but Buddha says, yes, eventually truth wins and untruth is defeated. It may take a long time. It may take 7,000 years yet for Niagara to dissolve all the hills around. But what are 7,000 years in eternity? Nothing, not even a single second. If you look at eternity, the softer is the victorious and the harder is defeated. If you look with a very, very near-sighted mind, the harder seems to win. If you see Buddha and Alexander is standing together, can you think Buddha will win? Of course, Alexander. All logic will say Alexander. If you see Lao Tse standing by the side of Adolf Hitler, can you think Lao Tse will win? Lao Tse will be so humble. And Hitler so arrogant. Hitler is a granite rock. But look at the longer range. Look with a vision and you see all Hitler's becoming saints. All Alexander's dissolving into saints. And Lao Tse and Buddha, they go on winning. They don't fight and they win. And those who fight, they are defeated. The softest substance of the world goes through the hardest. Have you ever loved someone? Love is so soft that you cannot think that love can win, but it always wins. It is always the man who is defeated, never the woman. And if a woman is defeated, you can be sure something of the man has entered into her. And if a man wins, you can be sure that he has something of the feminine, of the soft within him. Because the soft wins. The hard cannot win. You can beat a woman you love. You can force her to do things. You can be violent to her. But finally, eventually, she will win. If she loves you, she is going to win. If you love her, you are going to be defeated. And she never really fights. If she starts fighting, she will be defeated. Because then she loses the whole quality of softness. This is what is happening into the West. The new liberated woman is not soft. She is very hard. She is going to be defeated. She is trying the male methods against man. She will be defeated. And even if she is not defeated, she will be left alone to herself, loveless. I have seen many live movement women come to me. I always see them like deserts, dry. The clouds of love has disappeared from their life. They have become fighters. They have lost the lucidity and softness of water. They have become hard. I was reading a manifesto of one trend of live movement. The manifesto is of a society. The society's name is Scum. The full name is Society to Cut Men. Society to Cut Men. In the manifesto, it is said that all men should be destroyed from the earth. They should be killed, murdered. They are not needed. And women, if they feel like loving, never should fall in love with a man. They should become lesbians. They should fall in love with other women. The woman who wrote that manifesto committed suicide just a few years before. She could not kill men, but she killed herself. If you fight with man, with the methods man has oriented, they suit man, because man is a hard. Man is a granite rock. They don't suit women at all. Once you try those methods, they will dry your womanhood completely. Something soft within you will disappear. You will be like men. Of course, you will feel you are more powerful, but you are foolish because you don't know that finally power never wins. Finally, only humbleness wins. I have been watching men and women and their relationships in millions of ways. It is almost impossible for a woman, if she remains woman, not to win. Notwithstanding all pretensions of men, they are not worth to be considered. A woman can allow the man to pretend that he is the winner. But all women know that they are the winners. In fact, to call any husband henpecked is wrong, because all husbands are. Otherwise it's not possible. Because the woman is so soft, so ready to adjust like water. How can you destroy her? Her softness by and by wins you. Her grace, her love, her humbleness, egolessness by and by wins you. Alexander may be a great soldier outside his house, but when he enters his house, he is just an ordinary mouse. No woman believes that you are a great soldier. Even if she says so, even if she persuades you to believe that you are the real master of the home, you are not. That's not possible, not because woman is playing some politics against you. No, just a natural phenomenon. The soft wins, and the woman is the softer element than the man. Hard elements have their own use. But as far as final victory is concerned, it is with the soft. Of course, you cannot win a man if he is also feminine. A Buddha cannot be won by a woman. Impossible. Because a Buddha is more feminine than any woman. A Lao Tzu cannot be defeated. He is more humble than any woman. If you want to win, according to Lao Tzu, you should be soft, humble, non-resisting. That which is without form penetrates that which has no crevice. Even a granite rock with no crevice, and the water will penetrate it. It will go through it. It has no form. Water is so humble that you can give it any form, and he is always ready to take any shape, any form. You put it in a glass, it becomes the glass. You put it in a bucket, it becomes the bucket. It never resists, it never cries, never complains, never protests. Water is Catholic. Water is not a Protestant. It simply yields. And so is love. Love is Catholic. It is not a Protestant. It simply yields. It trusts so much that it can take any shape. It is never afraid. Any shape you want to give it, it is ready to take it. Because in any shape, it remains the same. The shape or the form is not the thing, the real thing. The innermost being remains the same. Harder elements are afraid, more afraid, less certain about their innermost core of being, more clinging to the form. A rock is afraid that if the form is broken, where she will be. Water is not afraid. Form is not his being. Whatsoever the form, he will be the same. Love is not afraid. It can take any form. Hate is afraid. Hate is a hard thing. Just the other day somebody was asking me that why it is so, when we hate so intensely, but we don't love so intensely. Because you know only one intensity, intensity of the hard substance. You don't know the intensity of a liquidity, of a liquid phenomena. You know only the hardness of a steel. You don't know the softness of a flower. And you are afraid. So when you can hate perfectly deeply. You can hate totally. You can go and destroy the enemy completely. But you never give such a creative energy to your lover. You can go and destroy the enemy and kill him, and you can give the poison. If your love is also so intense as your hate, you can give your life to your lover. The same phenomena. Hate is destruction. Love is creation. In hate, you go and destroy the other. In love, you destroy yourself and give yourself totally to the other. No, you never give yourself so totally. You always withhold yourself. The major part you always withhold. Who knows, any moment, if things change, you can withdraw your hand. So only you put your hand into the love phenomena, the whole body remains outside. You can pull it back any moment things go wrong. Just a part. All marriages are part marriages. Hence, marriage can never be free from divorce. Part marriage, how it can be free from divorce? Whether the law allows it or not, that is not the point. Only a total marriage can be free of divorce. Total marriage means a merger. Merger is possible if you are soft. How can you merge if you are hard? That which is without form penetrates that which has no crevice. Through this I know the benefit of taking no action. Gnosis is, through this I know the benefit of taking no action, because all actions are aggressive. All actions are male. In action, there is the odor of male chauvinism. In the very phenomena of action, aggression exists. Love cannot be action. It can only be inaction. Prayer cannot be action. Because it is the highest form of love. It can only be inaction. That's why the Sufi Darvesh missed and the beggar attained. The Sufi Darvesh was too much active. Continuously praying, the doer, his ego must have become more and more subtle and stronger and stronger and stronger. It must have become like a blade of a sword, sharp, strong, subtle. The beggar could attain. He was just a beggar. And he was not doing it. It was happening. Never try to do things which cannot be done. Which only happen. Never try to do prayer. Just be in a mood of receptivity and allow it. Just sit under a tree, wait. And I tell you, any tree can become the oak grove. You just sit silently and just wait. If suddenly you feel a stirring in the heart and a name comes bubbling up, if something surfaces, takes possession. Pray. If you feel like some gestures happening, let them happen. Don't be in any way the controller. If tears starts flowing, let them flow. Then that is the prayer of that moment. If you suddenly feel that you would like to roll down on the earth, roll down on the earth, let that be the prayer of that moment. That's how existence wants it at that moment. Only in that way, in that moment, you can attend to prayer. Allow. Existence is vast. Allow the existence. Break down all your barriers and just wait. It happened to one of the greatest Sufi mystics. He was passing through the street of his town. His name is Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi. One of the great Sufi mystics and poets. And he passed the street where goldsmiths were working. He was praying hard, but nothing has happened. Nights and days he has prayed, and only frustration, and only frustration, and always hands empty. Prayer was elusive. He couldn't catch hold of it. Tried hard, clenched hard. But whenever he opened his fist, there was nothing. He was passing through the marketplace from the street of goldsmiths. They were hammering gold plates, and much noise was there. He just stood there. Suddenly something caught hold of him. He was possessed. There, hammering on the gold plates. And he started listening the name of Allah in the hammering. Allah, Allah, Allah. He couldn't believe it. A subtle tuning happened. And he was filled with such ecstasy and bliss. He started dancing. He willed on that day in that small town, because of those goldsmiths and their hammering and the noise, the first dervish whirling was done. That was the first time the whirling dance was done. He has never intended it. But what can you do when you feel so blissful? When something takes possession, what can you do when your heart is feeling so happy except dancing? He danced and danced and danced for hours, and the whole marketplace gathered together, and they thought he has gone mad, and people started thinking this has happened to religious people. He has gone mad. That day he has become a Buddha. And then many attained through dancing. That day he discovered a method unknowingly. He discovered a device. For others it was a device, for himself it was a spontaneous phenomenon. Just wait and watch. He must be moving from that marketplace without any expectation of meeting God there. Whoever expects meeting God in a marketplace? Nobody ever expects. If you go to the Himalayas, you may be expecting. But in the marketplace, nobody expects. And in the streets where goldsmiths work, never anybody expects. It's so noisy and such a nuisance. But there it happened. There Jalaluddin became one of the greatest masters ever. But it happened. Then there was no need to pray. Then he never prayed again in the old way. Then he waited always for the right moment. Whenever the right moment comes, when the universe wants you to dance, you dance. When the existence wants you to sing, you sing. But there is nothing on your part. You are not the doer. Through this, I know the benefit of taking no action. The teaching without words and the benefit of taking no action are without compare in the universe. There is no comparison to that moment, to that ecstasy and bliss which suddenly happens and takes possession of you. You are possessed. Don't seek God. Only seek a situation where you can be possessed. Don't try to move directly. Just wait, and suddenly from an unknown dimension he comes and fills you with an unknown light. You will never be able to utter a single word about it. The tongue is not made for that. Lips are incapable for that. All they can say is always about and about and about. It is never the thing. That's why Lao Tzu says, Tao cannot be uttered, and that which can be uttered cannot be Tao. In silence it is heard and known. In silence it is felt and lived. In silence you become it. He becomes you. Not through action you will reach, but through inaction and silence. But that doesn't mean that you go in a cave and sit and drop all actions. No. That is what was done by that dervish, sitting for 18 years in mist. No need to distinguish between action and inaction. Even while you are doing things, always remember you are not the doer, he is the doer. Always remember that the whole is working through you. You are not more than a reed flute. The voice, the song, the music, all are his, of the whole. In action you remember that action is his. You are just a watcher, a witness. Then in action enters inaction. When action becomes inaction, when they are both together, balanced, you are no more part of this world. The duality disappears in that balancing. In that centering, the duality is no more there. You have transcended. Tao is transcendence. Truth is transcendence. Balance between any duality. And suddenly the door opens. The door has always remained opened. Only you are so much engaged in actions, you don't have the space to see that it is open. Yes, Lao Tzu is true. The teaching without words and the benefit of taking no actions are without compare in the universe. Enough for today.